Now, today, I would like to take you on a journey into a brave new world, into the possibility that civilization could hold out somewhere and indeed could become something even greater than we have achieved this time round. And that is the world of embryo selection. And by the end of this video, I hope it will be clear to you that there is a very realistic possibility that civilization could hold out somewhere with a massively increased level of cognitive ability compared to what is happening today. Hello, 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 and welcome to This Is Not a Quick Pipe. Now, I was inspired to look into this by a very interesting article called Embryo Selection as Foreign Aid by Ives Parr in Aporia magazine. And basically, what he argues is this. National differences in cognitive ability are very real. They correlate with economic differences, national economic differences, at about 0.82. Income disparities are about 50-fold between countries. And when we use euphemisms for national cognitive ability, such as universal basic skills, that kind of thing, what we are really dealing with is exactly the same thing as cognitive ability. So one clear way in which we can increase economic success in developing countries and so forth is to increase their, well, let's use this term, universal basic skills. Now, this model that these differences are exist and these differences between countries are real, it's a simple model, it works on numerous levels, interventions to increase universal basic skills seem to fade out or don't seem to work, interventions don't really improve cognitive ability, they just improve the ability to take the test. When countries become that are developing, suddenly become incredibly wealthy due to oil or whatever, their national cognitive abilities do not increase. National cognitive ability seems to be the motor of growth rather than something which is increased by growth. And we know that cognitive ability is extremely strongly genetic. So what we have then is a very parsimonious argument that there are individual differences in cognitive ability. There are differences according to groups of people in cognitive ability, and that these are strongly genetic in nature, clearly at the individual level, and probably therefore at other levels as well. Now, what this means is potentially by interfering with genes, and this is what is argued in the article, by interfering with the genetics, we can substantially increase cognitive ability. We can make people, to use normal parlance, much more intelligent. And this, of course, will have very significant economic consequences. It will mean that there will be more creativity, there will be more innovation, there will be a greater production of goods, the ability to produce goods, the ability to will outpace population growth to a greater extent. People will be much richer, people's standards of living will be higher, and although there may be negative consequences to this, in that purely economic way, it will work. Now, if we look at what's going on with embryo selection at the moment, we are at the cutting edge of the new technology in this, according to the article. Siblings can differ substantially in their average intelligence. They can differ by between 11 and 15 points. So what you do with this embryo selection is you create these embryos and you select the best embryos of the bunch in terms of polygenic scores, because this can be assessed from taking a tiny bit of the embryo. You can assess the polygenic scores. You can assess the essentially the likely average intelligence of the future child. Now, you can stimulate the creation of eggs, you can create a large number of eggs so that you can then create a large number of embryos. And if you do this, of course, then you have a much larger possibility, just by random chance, of having an embryo that has particularly high intelligence. Just by random genetic chance, with a reasonably intelligent couple that do this, you're going to have more likely to have embryos that have particularly high intelligence. Now, if you do this, if you produce, let's say, 1,000 embryos, then there is the realistic possibility that you can increase the intelligence of the embryo in relation to that of its parents by 24 points, by 24 IQ points, basically almost 30 points. That's two standard deviations. Now, two standard deviations is the difference between the average person, who are a police officer, a person that does a normal office job, that sort of thing, and a university science professor. So that's a very, very substantial difference. Now, once you've done that, if you carry on like this, then if you then get if those children who are going to be highly intelligent themselves take up this embryo selection process for intelligence, then you do it again. And with a sufficiently large number of embryos, then you've increased intelligence massively. So across the generations, if you have a sufficiently large number of people that are prepared, and it wouldn't have to be that many families, perhaps about 80 families that would get together and would act in this manner, then you'll have a core of people, if they have large numbers of children, that will be massively, massively intelligent and will be able to get together, work creatively, build up all kinds of things, build up all kinds of fascinating new ideas, fascinating innovations, and really kind of hold out a kind of, the word is eugenic, what else is the word? Neo-Byzantium, in which society becomes more and more intelligent. Now, as that happens, of course, society will advance, society will get better, more and more people will take up the technology, hopefully, as people become more intelligent, will get better and will be more and more and more sustainable, and economically anyway. I can't comment on what it would do to other areas of life. Some people may say that this has a kind of ick factor. There may be a religious negative reaction to it. There may be the view that it is interfering with extremely complicated things that we should not interfere with. There may be the view that this is ungodly. There may be all kinds of negative views of this. But in terms of what would be done economically, it would, of course, be likely to make life considerably better. And so the argument that is put forth in the article in Aporia is that this kind of technology should be exported to developing countries, and then developing countries will simply develop, and they will be wealthier, and there will be no need for people to leave those countries, and there will just be better places to live. And that's an interesting idea in itself. But I think what is particularly fascinating about this is the possibility that it wouldn't take that many families to take up this possibility and to have large numbers of children to create a subculture within the society of extraordinarily intelligent people that were moving closer and closer across a number of generations to perhaps the maximum possible intelligence that is possible for humanity. And we are on the cusp of this technology now. It's happening. There are people doing this. I've interviewed on my channel couples who are doing this. So there are some fascinating possibilities for the future, folks. Now, if you've been following events at the Jolly Heretic Public House, you may have noticed that things have been changing in the nature and the quality of the videos. And that's because certain things have been changing behind the scenes. Certain interesting people have been becoming interested in what's going on. And so, yeah, there's change afoot. And in that regard, we have some very exciting events coming up. Now, we already had a very exciting event in London in October. And there was 90 people that turned up from all walks of life who had We had fantastic fun. They learned about life behind the scenes at the Jolly Heretic Public House and what's going on and what's changing. And I got to meet people and chat with people and have a beer and talk about the Neo-Byzantium, the idea that we are going to be the holdouts of civilization, are going to find a way to keep civilization going and keep something preserved against all the chaos. And so that went very, very well. And so we thought, what about people that live in the north of the country? What about people that live in the north of the country? And so in that regard, I'm very pleased to announce that there's going to be another in-person event. This is going to be in Liverpool on the 16th of December. And that will be for those that, of course, missed out on the London event. And again, it will be a chance to look behind the scenes at the Jolly Heretic to find out what's going on, to meet like-minded, naughty, heretical people. And, of course, to learn about the Neo-Byzantium that we're trying to build. And then the night before that, there will be another exciting event. And that will be in London. And this will be a Christmas dinner with the night before with me and some very select people. Some very select people, many of whom you will have heard of and you'll be rather interested to meet. And so this will be a chance to sort of talk about these things at a deeper level and to have to celebrate Christmas, albeit a bit early, and to really have a great deal of fun and to imbibe and whatever, but also to talk about what's going on and talk about the future of civilization. So I would be most grateful if as many of you as possible would like to come to either of these events. And I look forward to seeing you there. I look forward to meeting you. I look forward to chatting with you, getting to know you. And the links are in the description. Are you ready for the future of the West?